Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round 2 recap for this week's AT&T Byron Nelson. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
What's going on, Rick? Exciting week so far, and a lot of names up there that we've actually had a chance to talk about this week. So it's exciting. It's been a great first 2 days.
If you like birdies, this is the week for you. You know, we had essentially a historic scoring opopening round. The course played almost 3.25 shots under par as of when we are recording here on Friday, looking like another shot and 3/4. I mean, this is just an absolute birdie fest out there, Greg.
Yeah, it is. And look, there's a little more wind today than there was yesterday, but not a whole lot. And the greens are receptive. And like we kind of talked about leading in, not a lot of trouble off the tee to find. So guys have plenty of opportunities, and there are some long holes out there too. I mean, there's a couple of, at least one 500-yard par four, but it doesn't matter. They still make birdies. Length isn't the issue. And when a golf course is soft, these guys really prove how good they are.
Our leader, Sam Burns, fresh off his victory at the Valspar and 1 week off, follows up his opening round 65 with a 62 bogey free. That is 10 under, Greg. And assuming everything holds, he's got a couple of shot lead here. There's, you know, a handful of guys out on the course, probably can't catch him. This will be his fifth 36 hole lead already this season. 5 of them he will head into the weekend atop the leaderboard.
It's pretty impressive. I mean, there, you know, the old saying, it's hard to shoot 2 really good rounds 2 days in a row. I guess he didn't think 65 was too good. You know, I guess he didn't think that was very good, it was 2 shots back and now he's 3 shots ahead. It was quite a ball striking display. And, you know, I was watching him play and he's just hitting it so nicely. He led the field today, strokes gained approach the green. And I was thinking of the conversation we had on Sunday about whether, you know, he or Keegan Bradley who would have a better career.
Keegan Bradley.
Which,
who did we pick? Right. I hope we picked Sam Burns.
I know, it looks like that now. Well, I made an argument. Kyle said Keegan, which I think is a very fair statement. And it's more than likely that when they're both retired, Keegan had a better career. He's got a major and 5 big time wins. And that's a great career. It's not easy to do. It's very easy to have a little bit of a slump. You don't even have to have a slump. It's easy to not win. So
very easy.
But I was so impressed with his iron play so far this year, which was an area that Kyle had said was kind of a over the course of his 2.5-year career, not necessarily his strength. But I think we've seen it really come on strong this season. And going forward, I'm really looking forward to see if this is the way this guy's swinging right now just a hot streak? Is he just in great form? Or were the first 2 years just 2 years of rust? And was he just kind of learning, getting his feet wet, getting comfortable out on tour? Because he's very comfortable right now. And when you put yourself in position this many times, like he's done, 5, as you said, Rick, 5 36-hole leader co-leads this year, more than anybody on tour. You get very comfortable and you start to expect that. And I got a little Brooks Koepka story. It's not quite a trophy in the backseat of the car, sure. But Brooks Koepka was saying that when when he first got out on tour, he was always trying to make cuts. And his goal was to make the cut. I want to make the, and he always finished right around the cut line. And then his mind, he changed his mindset and he started to focus on, okay, setting a little more lofty goals. I want to finish top 10. Yeah. Right. And then all of a sudden he was always right around the top 10. And then he started to want to win. And all of a sudden he's always right around the lead. And I feel like Sam Burns is in that place now where he, and Jordan Spieth is too, where he expects to be there, expects to win. And now all of a sudden he does it regularly and he's comfortable with it.
We're going to talk about Jordan Spieth here in a second, but you know, Sam Burns, I don't think he gets enough respect for how good his short game is. You know, he is kind of known as this bomber. And then I think his irons are much better than maybe Kyle had alluded to a couple of days ago, but we have seen on display, a perfect example of it was his final hole here on Friday. He hits the exact spot he needs to after going over the green with his second shot. He trickles it down there. He's got a tap in birdie. I think back to what he did on Sunday at Riviera when he was like up against the fence on the side of six green and like makes a miraculous par save. That like he has all of the shots, and what we've been talking about for 6 months is if he just puts it all together, he's going to be super dangerous. And well, now he's like been super dangerous for six consecutive rounds. He won a golf tournament. Now he's heading into the weekend with the lead.
Yeah, and it's a significant lead. I mean, you look at a guy who's at 17 under. We talk 17. About this every Friday, right? I mean, we never get anybody. He's 17 under. 17. I mean, the last, when there were the two Korn Ferry Tour events there, one winner was 17. And I think the other was, I don't know, 16, maybe 19. I forget exactly what the numbers were, but it was under 20. Both times they were under 20. I do think the par was 71 at that time. But that's here nor there. The point is he's got a three shot lead. And if you look at this leaderboard, you got to wonder to yourself, how many guys did Sam Burns eliminate today? From really winning this thing. I mean, you got to figure the 11 unders are still in the mix because there's only a couple of guys at 13 or 14 under. You got three players with Alex Noren, Doc Redman, and KH Lee that are better than 11. So you got to figure they're still in. But Rick, do you think that are the 10s in? Is my boy Wyndham Clark in this event, in this thing?
I mean, how often does seven shots, like how often do you come back from seven shots over the course of the final two rounds? Probably not often. The good news is it's only one guy, it's Burns. So if he comes back, he would open it up. But I think I tend to agree with what you're saying that he played a lot of guys out of contention on Friday.
Yeah. I mean, if you consider the 10 still in it, which look, if you go shoot 62 tomorrow, right? If Wyndham Clark, for lack of a more favorable example, if Wyndham Clark goes out and shoots 62 tomorrow and he is all of a sudden at 20 under, I mean, you could see Sam Burns being around that, right around that number. You know, having a slow round of 69 is, I think, very plausible.
My homeboy and friend of the pod, Doc Redman, is just going to birdie his last four and get to 18 under and just take the outright lead. And we're going to have to re-record this podcast if that happens. So keep an eye out for that. Jordan Spieth followed that mantra, Greg. You know, it's hard to follow up a good round with another one. He shot a 2 under 70. You know, I watched probably the majority of his rounds this morning because he was out on Friday morning. And you know, it was fine. I thought a couple of putts didn't fall for him. He actually had an interesting comment, and coming from you, an instructor, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this, because after his 70, he said, I just got to kind of get a little more compact with my golf swing. Just throw out today, go to the range, and just get back to yesterday's feel. So obviously he was not as comfortable with his Friday swing as he was with his Thursday swing.
Yeah, which was really good. So it's easy to kind of backtrack on that a little bit. I've done a little bit of looking at Jordan's swing and some of the changes that he's made. On Course Record, we did a little breakdown a couple of weeks ago. And so we really took a pretty in-depth look at some of the things that he's done. I love what he's done with his golf swing. I didn't get, because he played in the morning today, I didn't get to see as much of the round. But basically, Jordan's got a little more forearm rotation in the golf swing. It's getting the club face a little more shut, which is the biggest difference for him. When he is shut face at the top, he can play. And when it gets a little, when it gets a little open, a little toe hang at the top, all of a sudden things get a little ugly for him. And I think that had a lot to do with the bone chip in his hand. He couldn't get the wrist in the bowed position that he wanted to. He wasn't rotating his forearms quite the same way, and it was causing a lot of trouble. So now he's got all that going on, and it's like it just kind of you get a little overconfident, and your swing's just not as tight. It feels like it's moving around a little bit too much. It doesn't feel like it's hanging out right on the plane that you intend. And I have no doubt that that was his bad round of the tournament. And I think he's going to have a really, really solid weekend.
I've got time for about one more golfer here before we go to the guys who are going to miss the cut. Do you want KH Lee or do you want Bryson DeChambeau? You call it, Greg.
Wow. That
completely opposite, completely different guys.
Completely different guys. I think, look, I love KH Lee. I think he's a really solid player. I love watching him hit short shots around the greens, but come on, Rick, we got to talk about
the beefy one. Okay. Bryson DeChambeau follows up his 69 with a 68. He's 7 under. He's certainly going to make the weekend. He moved up the leaderboard on Friday. I still contend, even being 7 under through two rounds, and I've seen probably the vast majority of every shot that Bryson has hit this week, he couldn't be playing worse. Like, I think he's playing so terribly, and he is 7 under par. I mean, there's obviously an opportunity for him to move up on the weekend, but kind of a sloppy play on 16 where he makes bogey, another one on 17. He was obviously very frustrated. There is always a lot of head scratching and knee slapping and all that stuff. And I don't know if it's a testament to Bryson's game that I think he's playing as poorly as I've seen him play in a while, and he's still, you know, top 40 of this event as we record.
Well, you look at where he's playing from, Rick, and this is kind of why I was interested in him winning this week. I thought at first on Sunday, I really thought, okay, this is a Bryson kind of a week because he's going to play from some easy spots and he's going to be able to really let it loose. And he's done that. But the rest of the game has just been, it hasn't been tight. The iron play was really not great yesterday. It really was not very solid. And when your proximity to the hole from the places he's hitting second shots from, when it's 38 feet, it's too much in those conditions. Now, today was much better. He got it down to 32 feet, which that 6 foot jump is a enormous leap when it comes to proximity to the hole. So that was a big improvement. He definitely hit it better. But then the putting was just not there today. He couldn't get anything to fall. And I think, Rick, it was just kind of a frustrating day on the greens. I don't think it was necessarily a problem. I don't think it's, hey, Bryson can't putt right now. I think it just, they didn't go in today. From what I saw,
Brooks Koepka shoots a 2 under 70. As we know, he's trying to figure out what the status of his game, what the status of his knee is heading into Kiawah Island next week. He offsets his one bogey with 3 birdies, including birdieing his final hole of the day, number 18. He is still 28-1 to win the PGA Championship next week, and there are probably more questions, Greg, than answers when it comes to Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think this is a great... I don't think this golf course is a great test of how your game is for a major. If you're ready for a major, it's a completely different mindset. But at the same time, you still have to step up and hit the shots, right? And you got to be able to hit your putts online, and you got to be in control. And a guy like Sam Burns right now, a guy like Jordan Spieth right now, they're building confidence. And even some of the guys that are a little farther back that are maybe sitting at 10 under par, who feel like they are... at least making big strides, even though their name isn't near the top of the leaderboard. But for Brooks, this can't feel like it's a big stride. This is a frustrating round. When you go out and miss a cut like that, it can be frustrating. But unfortunately with Brooks, I don't think that means that he's not a factor for next week. My inclination is he's not. I mean, I want to say he's not, but he has a better ability than anyone I've ever seen flip the switch to all of a sudden play great in a major. I mean, Tiger played great in majors, but Tiger didn't play like this before majors and then win major. Tiger played well at everything all the time. And I'm not seeing that out of Brooks right now. So, but again, I don't know. He could flip a switch and put on a great performance next week.
if you were looking to see how Sergio Garcia followed up his opening round 65, just keep scrolling. He's down there. Just keep going. Few more thumb flips. You'll finally get to it. A 75 for Sergio Garcia. So just to recap, he goes out on Thursday, 5 birdies and a hole out eagle to shoot 7 under 65. And his second round, Greg, my goodness, he goes out in 35. He comes in 37. It is a disastrous 75 and a missed cut when all is said and done.
It's such a shame. I mean, it's so frustrating if you're Sergio Garcia, because you're having a pretty nice year. I mean, you've won at least, yeah. Right? You've won. And I feel like Sergio is kind of maybe one of those guys that could have a really nice week next week. You're going to need some solid ball striking. You're going to need some good short game play. And this would be a guy I'm interested in. But when you see him lose over 2 shots approaching the green today and then lose another 3 putting, that gets extremely frustrating. Those are the 2 areas, Rick, we said were so important coming into the week. It would either turn into a putting contest or it would be an iron play contest. I think right now it's leaning towards the iron play contest.
I agree. But
putting's a big part of it too. And he was today 141st approach the green, 152nd strokes came putting.
Sergio is having a good year. However, he did win the Sanderson Farms. He had a top 10 at the Players. He made that deep run in the match play as well before being bounced in the Elite 8. So, Sergio, we will catch you next week at Kiawa. And, Greg, I want to look at the odds via William Hill and see what we like for the weekend. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And we're back looking at the odds. Of course, Sam Burns, now your prohibitive favorite. He is +150, 1.5 to 1 on your money. Greg, last night when we said, hey, maybe you should consider betting Sam Burns right now, he was 14 to 1. So that number has moved quite a ways. And then Alex Noren, who is actually, as we speak, still out on the golf course. He is 3 shots back. He's got a couple of holes to play. He's +700. Doc Redman and Jordan Spieth at 10 to 1 and 11 to 1, respectively.
Well, I think Sam Burns has what it takes to win again. This can I could see this being a runaway. I mean, I'm not quite in the place I was with Stuart Sink, where I'm ready for the GIF, the Vince GIF. I'm not ready for that yet.
Not at this birdie fest.
No, right. It's crazy. And again, like I said, he could shoot 69 tomorrow and get caught. In theory, that could happen. It'd be crazy, but all this board can flip. So that being said, I think Jordan Spieth's the kind of guy, aside from Sam Burns, who can really make a move. And it's because of the confidence. It's because of the expectation to be around the lead. It's because of the expectation to win. And I would say tomorrow Jordan Spieth's going to make a move because today was such a kind of a lackluster day. But I don't think there was any significant issue. He didn't get it going, and he'll get hot tomorrow. I am I don't want to. I'm very confident Jordan Spieth gets hot tomorrow.
I would be very happy going into the weekend with my Sam Burns Thursday night 14-1 ticket and my Friday night Jordan Spieth 11-1 ticket, and just seeing how it pans. Like, I've got like the two horses at the top, and I'm just cool with seeing how that pans out instead of trying to guess, is it a Noren week? Is it a Redmond week? Is Patton Gazire going to make a move? Like, I would rather be holding those two tickets.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, nice to see Matt Kuchar up there playing. Yeah. It seems to have happened. So that's exciting. But the other guy that kind of sticks out to me, Rick, is Wyndham. I'm sorry, not Wyndham Clark. Charles Schwartzel.
Yes.
Charles Schwartzel.
It's tough to say.
It is Charles.
It is Charles.
We asked him. Yeah. So anyway, Charles is fourth in strokes gained approach the green right now. Yeah. And he had kind of a disappointing finish to today's round. He sits at 11 under right now, and he made bogey at 17, and he made par at 18. So I really think Charles would could make a move. He's set up. He's doing the things well that he should do well. And it was a disappointing finish today, which I don't think is indicative of the form that he's in.
What I also like about Schwartzel is that this is not just one week. He's been playing well. We know he was in the playoff with Louis Oosthuizen at the Zurich. He's been popping up on the top of leaderboards. This is now a trend. So there's no reason to think he's going to go away. And Greg, you actually have him in a three ball over Lee Westwood and Charles Howell III, who are both lurking, but a couple of shots back. So you got a little bit of cushion heading into the weekend.
Man, it's not a, I'm still sweating that one, right? You want to I want to write that off. Yeah. I want to write that off as a win right now, but you can't, because if he goes out and shoots 71 tomorrow, he's going to get lapped, right? If any of those guys shoot, I mean, hopefully Westwood or Howell shoot 71 and I'm in good shape. But I do think Charles is going to have a really nice weekend because of what you said, Rick. This is a trend now.
Two quick things before we get out of here. When was the last time? I know Burns had a week off, so he's not going to. If he would win this, it's not winning back to back weeks, but it'd be back to back events.
Back to back starts.
Back to back starts. Molinari, was that the last guy to do that? A couple years ago, remember he had those. He had those two in a row, didn't he?
Well, did DJ do it? Did DJ win two in a row?
Well, I guess DJ would have won two in a row. Did he win the week before the tour championship? Because then he would have gotten the
tour championship. No, he lost to BMW.
Right.
He lost to Rahm. So he...
I don't know when last time we would have saw this was. It might be DJ.
Back-to-back starts.
I have the list pulled up.
Oh, or Jacob can pop up and tell us exactly who it is. Yeah.
Or he can just leave the carrot dangling in front of us.
I think we've definitely done this before, and it's way more recent than I think you guys realize.
Give us a hint.
Great 2020, possibly player of the year.
I know. Brendan Todd.
Oh, yeah. Todd. Yes, sir. The Toddfather. Yes. Good get, Rick.
RSM and Bermuda, I think, or something.
Bermuda and Mayakoba.
That is correct.
There you go. Bermuda and Mayakoba. So that, nice the Molinari stretch I was thinking of, he actually won three times in six starts. He won BMW Championship, BMW PGA Championship. That's a European Tour event. Finished runner up at the Italian Open, T25 at the US Open, won the Quicken Loans. Then he finished runner up at the John Deere. And then his next start, he won the Open Championship. So he went win, second, win in a three start.
Yeah, trip. That was crazy.
That's what I was
thinking. A year. What a year he had, man. And then he should have won the Masters the next year.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, he really was the guy. If you think about the 2019 Masters, he was the camp. You couldn't see Tiger wasn't going to be able to catch him. And well, we all know how he turned out.
final thing before we get out of here, because there is a little news. Phil Mickelson has received an offer and accepted a special exemption into the 121st U.S. Open. So Phil will be back in San Diego. He will be at Torrey Pines, and he'll be rocking and rolling.
Yeah. To me, he is completely deserving of this. You don't need to see Phil Mickelson go into play in a sectional qualifier. Phil has been a runner-up here six times. You could argue he is as qualified as any past champion to get in here. So I think you have to give him a chance, especially at Torrey Pines. We don't need to see him. Although I think it'd be great if you're like in a sectional qualifier and you look at the tee sheet and you you're playing with Phil Mickelson.
44 PGA Tour wins, however many, 100 something million a second. Dollars.
I watched you, like when I was a baby, I watched you, you know, Payne Stewart say you're a father. You came and said, you should have won.
One of my favorite Phil Torrey moments is him sending Bones up from like 80 yards out or whatever.
Yes.
Go pull the stick on 18. And then not only – listen, it's one thing to send your caddy up there to tend the flag from the middle of the fairway. But the fact that he almost hold it and then almost spun it back in – like it would have been really embarrassing if he leaves it in the front bunker.
Didn't he lip it out? I think he lipped it out.
I don't think it got that close. But he landed it like 3 inches over the cup and then it spun back like right past it.
Yeah, it was really. I remember it. I mean, I thought I think it was a little closer than it was. But my favorite Phil story is a U.S. Open story from 2006, and this is so sad that this is my favorite one. But it's the press conference afterwards.
Yeah,
and he just says, "I'm such an idiot." The reason I love it is not. I love it because that's Phil. He's so open, and he just says, blew it. Yeah. And you don't hear guys say that.
Like, I love it because it's real. I call myself an idiot 15 times a day. To hear Phil Mickelson call himself an idiot is like,
it's amazing. You're right. You hit the nail on the head. It's real. Love it.
It's real. All right, that'll do it. We'll be back after both rounds 3 and 4 of the AT&T Byron Nelson. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.